Hello, and welcome to Transient Wool Merchants, Episode 5. We're your hosts, Amy and...
Heather.
And today's topic is sheep shawls and Shenandoah.
That sounds good. We're going to talk fast today because I leave tomorrow for the Shenandoah Valley Fiber Festival. And my house has kind of gotten taken over by wool. And I have to start teaching piano lessons in about 20 minutes. So, gotta hurry today. Amy, when do you leave for Shenandoah?
I leave Friday morning, so I've got a little bit more time.
Well, my mom is going with me. This will be her first sheep and wool festival. She's not a knitter, crocheter, fiber artist of any sort. So it ought to be interesting.
They always are.
So, just a quick update on what's going on. We got back from Montana, and I've just been, like face down and die. Knitting, not so much. I'm supposed to have kits for the traveling companion shawl at Shenandoah Valley Fiber Festival. We'll see if that happens. If I can get my sample done and not sleep in the next 2 days, that might actually happen. So really, I have not knit anything since I got home. While I was gone, I finished up Grand Army Plaza shawl, Chevron Howl, the sheep shawl. There was something else in there, but now I can't even remember what it was. Lots of knitting going on in Montana. It was a good month. Can't complain. What have you been finishing up?
Well, I have been working on Wago, continuing to work on Wago, doing some more work on Wago. I cast on the Acorn Trail sweater, and I've been making slow progress on that. And then Lauren Elkin's Knockout Knits book dropped, and I decided that I would knit the Loco shawl, which... It's an advanced pattern, and for me, having only been knitting 2 years and not really all that great at it, it's pretty loco, I would have to say. But I had like 1,100 yards of an oopsie from the mill that ended up a lead broke, so it ended up being a 2-ply lace weight instead of the 3-ply fingering it was supposed to be. So it just seemed like something I should do. So I'm attempting that, and I just finished the... M Club Magmatic, so that happened since the last time we recorded. Magmatic, I love, it's gorgeous. I'll post a picture of it in the show notes, but that's pretty much what I'm up to right now. I'm just knee-deep in stuff back from the mill, getting it labeled and bagged and ready to roll for Shenandoah. Oh, and in the meantime... we got word that we are in Rhinebeck.
Woo!
So we will be going to Rhinebeck, and actually you will be going with us to Rhinebeck as our number
one. I'm so excited. I've always wanted to go to Rhinebeck. And how many sweater quantities do I have to sell to earn this trip?
like 75, but no big
deal. Okay.
You can totally do that. But, yes, Heather's our number one booth babe when we do the big-time shows. Until you get in on your own, you've been such a wonderful help to us. We did Maryland with you this year, and we just couldn't think about doing Rhinebeck without you going along, too, so.
Well, we will all be crazy by the end of the month, so we have Shenandoah this weekend. Do you have a show next weekend?
No, actually, I'm going to be in Florida next weekend.
Next
week, because I'm losing my mind, and I need a little break at the Mouse House just to kind of keep it together.
That sounds nice. Let's see. The week after that is my 10-year wedding anniversary, and I think we're going to the Outer Banks. We'll see. Just depends. And then we have Rhinebeck, and then lo and behold, SAF is the weekend after that, and it's the end of October. How on earth you're going to get from your house to Rhinebeck and then back to SAF and not be crazy? It'll be interesting to see.
All I have to say is God bless my son, my farm sitter, because yeah, it's going to be trial by fire this fall with us, you know, doing Rhinebeck and SAF back to back. And then as soon as SAF is over, we come home, get everything put away. And then we decided to take off for the West Coast and go to Deb Robeson's Explore 4 Shetland sheep and wool and knitting retreat in Friday Harbor, Washington. So that's like the entire first week of November. And then we come back and we have another show. So we're pretty much either packing, unpacking, or on the road from now until Thanksgiving. So
that's awesome. As far as what we're taking to Shenandoah, since hopefully this will get posted before we go, I have quite a bit of new stuff. But one thing is a new line that I'm working with, cottage yarn, and it is called Tiki. It is a sock yarn, and it's 50% merino, 25% bamboo, and 25% nylon. Gorgeous. I have a little bit less than I had anticipated because it's not even officially out yet, and we sold 25 skeins yesterday. So, woohoo for us. Sold is sold, but you know, I had kind of counted on having some of that in the booth. Work with what we got. I will have some new fall-colored gradient shawl kits for spinning, or you can spin whatever you want out of them. My Ooh. Thought is that it's probably a good amount for a shawl kit, and it's your fiber. So I'm super excited about that. It dyed up gorgeous. Of course, I still have to drum card it, and yeah, I'm leaving tomorrow. Okay, deep breath.
I can't wait to see that. I'm just so excited. It's like grandchildren, you know?
You're going to be like, oh, my booth needs some of those colors. You're going to be tempted. And the last majorly new thing, well, two things. This is my first show that we will have a Shenandoah Fiber Festival colorway in sock yarn with a slight variant in a bulky weight. It's lime green, turquoise, and black. The colorway is called Key West Crime. So that's pretty excited. And I'm not going to say, oh, it's a limited quantity, blah, blah, blah. Everything's a limited quantity. So
show Welcome up to my world.
Get some, that's anyway. Only thing to do what? Do what?
I said, welcome to my world.
Yeah. Oh, and the only other thing is I have a new colorway line called the Eagles, and the names and colorways are based off of different Eagles songs. So just branching out a little bit there. The Modern Witch books that I based my colorways off of unfortunately have come to a rather abrupt end. The author got divorced and decided she couldn't write these books anymore.
Oh.
It's a little disappointing. Yeah. So she wrote one last one, gave it a nice epilogue, and called it quits.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really unexpected. And she was real polite and gave everybody more of an explanation than anybody probably deserves. But still, I think I had some more dye in me for that series. So. But we'll branch out and try some new things, see what happens. What are you bringing to Shenandoah?
Well, I've got Halloween stitch markers, and everything is just freshly back from the mill for the fall. So I have some gorgeous natural color Romney in, gosh, fingering, sport, worsted, bulky. I've got some Shetland back in. I haven't had Shetland yarn for a really long time. But I have some bulky and some sport and I think maybe some fingering. I've got a lot of Jacob. I've got some Tunis roving back in. I was out of that for a long time. I think I'm up to like 50 or 60 different yarns now, which is kind of insane. But I only have, you know, a few skeins of each. Some of them more than others, but some of them were just, like a really, really spectacular fleece, and it just spoke to me and said, you know, I need to be fingering. So, you know, I just have small quantities of that. But, yeah, I'm taking a boatload to, actually a camper load of new yarns to Shenandoah. I'm really excited about. And, you know, I got all these things ready. And now we're going to be at Rhinebeck, so, you know, we've got all these new yarns, and actually the Shenandoah folks will get to see and probably have a better selection than they will at Rhinebeck. So I'm excited about that, because, you know, Shenandoah is very, very special to both of us, because, you know, that's the fiber festival that kind of birthed both Grishubi and the Ross Farm as we are today, so...
Exactly. That was 2 years ago. And conveniently, my husband has been out of town every single year when I'm trying to get ready for this show the week before. I'm not quite sure how he manages to do that. So even the dogs are getting, Schubert and Gershwin are getting to go to the show. Well, they won't be at the show, but they'll be at the camper holding down the fort there.
Which is always super fun, because, you know, they'll get to see their girlfriends, Foof and Stink.
Oh, shh, don't say that. I said that the other day, and they both headed for the door.
Oh, that's a tremendous amount of foofy dogs in one place at one time.
It really is. Oh, you mentioned stitch markers. The wall of stitch markers will be back. My mom has been on a tear again, and if I have anything less than 300 packets, I would be really surprised.
I'm probably going to be pretty close to there myself. It's just been, if I'm not knitting or skeining or labeling, I'm stitch markering. So.
Well, I have not made any. Thankfully, I have a little bit of a stash. I spent the whole month of August making stitch markers in Montana, and I stopped at two shops on my way home and was like, oh, do you guys need any stitch markers? And they cleaned me out. They took everything that I've made in a whole month, which is awesome. Sold is sold, but, you know, I haven't had time since I got home to make any more. Maybe tomorrow night in the camper. That sounds like a plan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we've got another thing. We're now carrying Kirsten Kapoor shawl patterns in our booth, because her shawls work up so gorgeous in natural colors. And my special friend Kat, who has the blog As Kat Knits, is now doing sample knitting for me. So we've got Exuberance and I forget which other one coming back right away, but she's been knitting her way through the Kirsten Kapoor shawls. And of course Germinate lives in my booth, so that's going to be really, really fun when we finally have all the shawls hanging and the patterns with them and the yarns to make them. And Amy Masiko, Structured Stitches, has a new mitts pattern launching on Thursday in our yarns that's going to be hopefully kitted up in the booth. If I don't get it kitted, I'll at least have the yarns available to make them. But they're crocheted mitts, which you don't see a whole lot of. Crocheted lace weight. And that new lace that you dyed would be spectacular.
How many yards does it call for?
It's one skein of each of my stuff, which is 250 of each color. So your skeins would probably make 7,000 pair.
No, I've got 500 yard skeins and 1,200 yard skeins.
Well, two fives would make two pairs.
That would be pretty convenient then.
Yep. Especially since, you know, you need two colors.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
I do have a new fabulous sample. I've been putting pictures up of it, and it's a reversed cable shawl. Thank God I didn't have to knit it. My wonderful friend Chloe, the daughter of the local, the owner, it's her daughter, is a fantastic lace knitter and fast as the wind. So she picked up the Lyrial colorway in the 1,200-yard skein Vivace and knit it up in like 2 weeks while she knit two other sweaters during the same time. Crazy town, let me tell you. Gorgeous. It is like the most beautiful lace I've ever seen. And it's not It's not an easy pattern because it's completely cabled, but it's not complicated. There's not a lot of charts. Once you know the pattern, which I think is maybe a 12-row repeat, you're good for the whole shawl. So I'll have that in the booth. I believe you can download the pattern through Vogue. I really need to look all this up before I leave home tomorrow and make a tag. But that'll be in the booth as well. It takes one skein of Vivace lace.
Well, the one that I do have in the booth, I keep forgetting about it. It went with us to Michigan, and it went with us to Finger Lakes last weekend, is Kirsten Kapoor's Saranac that Kat knitted. Actually, she spun it and then knitted it. She spun a 2-ply lace weight out of our bulky our Romney roving, and then knit this Saranac, and it is absolutely gorgeous. And everybody has to pick at it to see that it's actually plied lace weight that she spun. It's just amazing. She's on Team Ply for Spinzilla. I'm on Team Knit Girls, but Spinzilla is like looming large over my head, and that's that's why I think we're getting all of our roving up and ready, is because Spinzilla is like in 2 weeks. So everybody's got to be stocking up for that.
Cool. Now, will you actually even have time to spin?
I'm going to have to. Actually, I've taken that entire week off. It starts right when we get back from Florida, and it ends like 5 days before Rhinebeck. So I have nothing that weekend. That's a weekend we're home. So therefore, I have nothing that week. And Team Knit Girls, they're trying to get like each spinner to do like 10,000 yards.
Holy.
I know.
Holy crap.
I've been stockpiling. I've been stockpiling fiber. I just picked up some Jill Draper Makes stuff when I was at Finger Lakes this past weekend. And the week before, I picked up some Fluffy U Fiber Farm from my friend Katrina. It's mohair and bunny angora. And I've never spun that, so I think it'll be interesting. And my goal is to get all of my wheels set up to do something different, like throughout the house. So if I feel like spinning bulky, or if I feel like spinning mohair or whatever, I can go to the wheel that's set up on and just like crank out some. And then if my hands start to hurt from spinning too fine, I can go someplace else in the house and spin bulky or something. I don't know. I'm just going to spin.
That's quite a plan.
I'm going to spin. Well, you know, that's the luxury now of having all of these wheels find me, is I don't have to tinker with them and take them apart, you know, to do something different. But it's been a little crazy. That's why we haven't been recording, because nobody seems to be home at the same time or awake at the same time. And
I've been busy. It was bad. I didn't do any dyeing before I left for Montana. I thought, oh, well, I'll just do it when I get back. And the shop decided they wanted a lot larger fall order than I had anticipated. So
good problem to have.
Well, it's a good problem to have, but I had not allocated that amount of time.
Right.
And re-entry was a little bit rough. 4 days on the road and then straight back into real life and dying and that kind of thing. Didn't go very smoothly that first week. But I think we're going to make it. My mom, thankfully, is bringing all the food. I don't have to worry about anything as far as that. She's bringing my favorite cookies this weekend. Pretty excited. And I'm going to make an offer, because we're going to get this podcast up, even if we have to like bribe somebody to show us how to do it, since my husband is crazy at work right now. If you mention this podcast at Shenandoah Valley Fiber Festival, I'll give you 10% off of your purchase. So we have to get this podcast up in order to get the message out.
Well, it sounds like maybe I better just match that deal too.
Well, that is up to you, but I thought, you know, we're trying to see how many people are hearing, you know, the podcast as we're learning how to
picking
do all of this, and
down.
I think I should reward them for listening to me yammer on.
Yep. Well, I think so. So, 10% discount, either booth. We're both in the Ruritan building, if you can find us, and you can tell us that you listened to this. you can have a fabulous discount.
Excellent. Well, I have to go because I have piano students arriving momentarily.
I'm going to yammer on about sheep for anybody who's interested, because I had somebody comment on the board that they'd like to hear a little bit more about my sheep. So I thought today I might talk about what exactly is heritage and rare breeds. So if I want to say goodbye to Heather for a moment.
Well, I will talk to you guys later, Amy. I will see you on Friday at some point. Enjoy talking about your sheep, and I'm going to go teach some Chopin. So talk to you later.
Ciao.
Bye.
Well, for those of you who've decided to stick around and listen to me yammer on about sheep, here at our farm we raise 9 different breeds of heritage and rare breed sheep. And what determines a rare breed sheep is an organization called the Livestock Breeds Conservancy. It's located in North Carolina, and they keep track of the livestock census for all of the different breeds throughout the U.S., and they rank them according to how many live animals are left of different breeds in the United States. You can find them easily by Googling Livestock Breeds Conservancy, or I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But anyways, the categories that they use are critical, which generally means there's less than 500 of that particular breed in the United States, and I believe 1,500 in the world. And then the other classifications are threatened, watch, and recovering, and that just depends on their numbers as well. Here we raise Shetlands, Jacobs, Tunis, Leicester Longwool, and Cotswold, and Lincolns, which are all on the Livestock Breeds Conservancy's list, as well as miniature Mediterranean donkeys, which are cute as the dickens, and also they're in the recovering section, so they're not as critically endangered as, say, our Leicester Longwools, which there are less than 500 of in the United States and 1,500 worldwide. But you can learn more by going to their website and reading all about each of the breeds and what constitutes a rare breed. Our farm is on the National Register of Historic Places, so our goal here is to preserve the rare breeds while we're preserving our family farm. And many of the breeds that we raise are breeds that were very popular 50, 100, 150, 200 years ago in the United States, but have fallen out of favor because of the advent of synthetic fibers and the decrease in the price of raw wool. There's been a move in the sheep industry more toward a commercial sheep that provides fast-growing meat, and the wool is more of a byproduct of the meat market, which is contrary to what we're trying to do. We breed for a beautiful wool product, and a certain amount, very small percentage, of our livestock actually goes to the meat market, because we can use almost all of our animals for a really spectacular wool product. So that's what we're trying to do here, and that's why we're raising heritage and rare breeds. And as I said, I'll link to the Livestock Breeds Conservancy in the show notes, and you can also, when you get to that website, you can look up each of the different breeds that we raise and learn more about them, and there are beautiful pictures and historical facts and different little tidbits, like, you know, Shetlands can be 80 pounds full grown and Cotswolds can top 300, and I'm raising both, so sometimes it looks like my little sheep, my little Shetlands, might be the lambs of my big Cotswolds, but they're all big girls, and they're all fully grown, and they all live together happily. So it's breeding season here, and we're thinking now about getting our rams in with our ewes and making more lambs so that we can increase the numbers and hopefully get some people off the critical list or move them from threatened to recovering or something of that nature. So if you have any other questions about what we do or Heritage and Rare Breeds, you can always post a question on our Ravelry group. It's Transient Wool Merchants on Ravelry. And as I said, you can go to the website of Livestock Breeds Conservancy and learn more. We'll see you next week. Thanks so much for sticking with us. And see you in Shenandoah. Bye.